I'm going to be telling people individually about unique characteristics of their higher selves. We all have individual souls, obviously, and those can have individual characteristics just like people do. So what I'm going to be doing is finding those things out, and a few things like their life lessons and the particular training that their souls have undergone, and a few more bits of information. And that call is next Friday, but you need to sign up by, August 25th, which is this coming Saturday. So there's a button there on the webinar. If you're not there now, you can always go there and check that out and just see what that's all about if you'd like to sign up for that. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Sherry, who's on the line with me now. She's a new friend, an associate of mine. She describes herself as a spiritual intuitive, empath, Reiki master, teacher, practitioner. She does a blog. She does spiritual counseling and life coaching. Sherry's currently lives and works in Wheatley, Ontario. And I seem to have a thing for Canadians. My last interview was with a Canadian. So there's something I like about Canadians. Her website is at www.soaringfree.ca, which, guess what, stands for Canada. She provides email readings and things like that, helping, obviously, with whatever they need, dilemmas, changes, choices in their lives, and things like that. And she also provides distance healing and Reiki. And if you happen to be up in that area, of course, she'll do that in person. And she does training. She's working on a book right now, just all kinds of things. And she also has an online course available that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Mostly, what we want to do is to hear Sherry's story about how she got from there to here. Sherry was in some very negative situations earlier in her life, and she got herself out of it, you know, like a lot of us do. And she's going to try to fill you in on that and how you can do the same thing for yourself. And as a special treat here, Sherry's going to be taking some questions and giving some intuitive readings right here live during the call. And hopefully we'll be able to help some people that way with some answers. And she'll also have an extra special offer even beyond those readings. Anytime during the call, if you're on the webinar site on the internet, you can enter questions in a little box there. And as long as my internet stays up here, I'll check those out and relay them to Sherry, or if it's something I can answer, I'll take care of it. So that's enough from me. Sherry, welcome to the call.
Hi, Michael. Great to talk to you, and thank you very much for your invitation to be part of your interview series.
Absolutely.
Really happy that I can contribute my skills and gifts to the people who are moved to join us here this evening. I'm welcome to everybody that's online.
Yeah, this is going to be a great call, I hope. I'm really happy to be able to present gifted people like you, to as many people as possible. We've had a brief introduction to the kind of work you can do. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself personally, your background? Are you a native Canadian from north of the border there?
Well, yes, I am. I'm a native Canuck. I've lived in Ontario, Canada my entire life, raised on a rural farm that's about 12 miles from where I live right at the present time.
Okay, great.
I had what would appear to be a normal childhood to anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who knew me, I was very good at hiding hurts and pains from everybody in the world.
Wow, yeah. I hear that.
It was something that we all did back then in our age, day and age. I was very shy, and I had many issues and fears. I had screaming nightmares.
Wow.
And before I even entered public school, I was molested by a neighbor.
Yikes.
And then before I hit high school, I was abused and molested again by another neighbor. So there was a lot of abuse back then, and also in our day and age, as a child, you're told, don't tell anybody. You're going to be the one in trouble if you tell anybody.
Yeah.
And as sure enough, you don't tell anybody. You live with fear and shame and guilt.
Yeah, that's very common, unfortunately. So, but you lived with that for years. So did it stop you from getting out in the world and doing things?
I had a lot of anger and guilt and shame inside of me, and I was never happy in, well, because I wasn't happy as a child, I wasn't happy in school. I had excellent marks. My school was easy for me, like my grades were always way up there, but all these things started to build up in me, and by the time I reached grade 8, I was smoking pot on a regular basis, and by the end of grade 10, I couldn't go back to school. Even though my marks were excellent, I just could not return.
Yeah,
and I was alone. I didn't fit in. I was unhappy. I didn't trust anybody, and that's how I grew up.
That unfortunately, when that does happen, it seems to be something that we have to go through. You know, that's the catalyst for the awakening that I'm sure you're going to describe to us here eventually. So you're in your adult life. Have you always done this, or have you had other jobs?
I went to school right after grade 10 into a college course, and I got a senior secretarial diploma. I went immediately to work. I was only 17 and went to work full-time in an insurance company, and that was my first full-time office job. I learned how to do bookkeeping from whoever I worked with. And wherever I did go to work, I would, if there's something that was particular to the work I was doing, I would take a college course to get a little better at it or to learn more about it. And my last two jobs were office managers at different corporations. And I also, throughout my entire life, pretty much my adult life, I've prepared income taxes on the side for people. And for some reason, I enjoy doing that, and probably because it was simple and automatic.
I'm glad somebody does. That saves the rest of having to do that kind of thing.
As long as it's not me that's got to pay.
Okay.
It's nice doing something for somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. Then, right there, you're in service already for other people.
Yes. And I actually, when somebody has to pay, I actually feel bad, even though it has nothing to do with me.
Well, just be thankful you don't have to do the U.S. system of taxes. I kind of get the feeling it's a lot more complicated, but, you know, maybe not.
I think it is, too. You have better deductions, but I think it's a lot more complicated.
So I think that what you were telling me was that you don't do much of that anymore. Did you finally have enough of that?
Yeah, I had enough. It was about 4 years ago, a little more than 4 years ago. I got to the point I couldn't handle the pressure of an office situation any longer.
Yeah.
And I was dealing with a lot of things at the time. My father had died, my stepson had committed suicide, and my partner's mother had passed away. It was just a lot of deaths all in a row at the same period. And I was I was crying on the way to work, on the way home.
Oh, yeah. That's too much for any person.
At that point, you go, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I knew what I wasn't supposed to be doing. I knew the holistic world was calling me. I knew that the office work was like a no-brainer, simple thing that I was doing, but
yeah.
I was miserable.
It just didn't resonate anymore, as they say. And I don't like that. That's the facts.
I just typed up a resignation one day and put it on my boss's desk and never looked back.
So you've had an interesting family life. Do you have kids now?
I have boy-girl twins who turn 32 in June, and
wow.
I have my baby who turned 27, my baby son who turned 27 in April.
Quite a baby, huh?
Yeah. He'll always be my baby. And it, well, my adult life, because of all the lessons I had to learn in life, and that's why we're all on this planet, to learn all these lessons. I was married and divorced 3 times, and a lot of this, the issues from childhood had a lot to do with the choices I made in adulthood. And
oh, yeah.
Each lesson was different.
Yep. Yeah. You think you got it nailed down, right? And then something else comes along. That's you know, that's quite a background there. I think we will have a lot of people who, like I say, will resonate with that, so to speak, and had similar circumstances in their lives. But that particular combination, you know, like, wow, yeah, that's when we know there's a change. It's important to remember that people have so-called awakenings or in that process can come from any walk of life or background. I mean, look at you. You know, you're in accounting and tax preparation and things like that. I was in a blue-collar, middle-class environment growing up and, you know, construction trades and things like that. So, you know, it could be anybody. It could be an executive who goes through some stuff and finally decides that he's had enough and the awakening begins. So that's often the catalyst. I don't know too many, even big-name, you know, so-called spiritual teachers who haven't gone through things like that, alcoholism and drug abuse and health issues and things like that. So about 4 years ago, you kind of left that office environment kind of a thing, and is that when you really got into this intuitive work and Reiki and things like that?
It started kicking in a little bit before that.
Okay.
It would have went back when I got my first Reiki certificate. And actually, during childhood and during my younger adult, I'd always had those dreams and deja vu moments where you're standing somewhere and you're going, holy crap, I've been in this exact spot before, and yet you'd never been there that you know of. And
yeah, a couple
it's like, oh. You just get that feeling or that chill and indescribable. You don't know when,
yeah,
how you knew it.
Yeah. So as far as experience, had you consulted, you know, psychics and things like that yourself?
Yes,
you
I have. I've always believed in intuitives and readers, some readers. there's
yeah,
been good and bad along the way. And many have advised me on things that actually came to pass in my life. And I always, always believed in holistic healing, like acupuncture, Reiki, energy healing, anything
right,
like that, astrologers.
Yeah.
I read like crazy. I read metaphysical books all the time.
That's how we learn, by touching just a little bit of everything and then picking, you know, what really does it for us and makes sense to us.
Mm-hmm. And one of my big things was I was very close to my paternal grandmother, my father's mother, and I think I spent more time with her as a child than I did at my own home.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away in 1985, actually the same year my youngest son was born.
Wow.
And she came to my bedside the night she passed. And then
okay.
I saw her again a few days after that. And I was half asleep, half awake, and it was just somebody saying, it's okay. And
yeah. So you could feel that it was her, though.
Yes.
Okay.
It was almost
yeah,
a calming feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, if you've been with that person all their life, if they do come back and then give you a little visit there, you're going to recognize that energy and know who that is. You know, even
that's
if
right,
contact, you don't have so-called vision or see something there, you're going to feel who it is.
And from the screaming nightmares to having her it was a completely different, like, normally if I would have seen something like that or had that kind of vision, I would be screaming my head off, but I just, the calm feeling, that's when you knew, it was just calm.
Yep, it would have a certain characteristic. So you eventually, apparently you got into Reiki and got learned how to do that. Did that take very long?
Well, 2002, I decided to get my first attunement, and 2004, my second degree attunement.
And
it was actually during a treatment when I decided to get my attunement. The feeling was so wonderful, and the information that the person giving me the treatment at the time was just amazing. Almost, it was as intuitive as what a reader would give you.
Right.
And considering I was married to my third husband at this time, and I had to hide getting these attunements and certificates from him. They were hidden in a filing cabinet. He was very strong dictator type person, and I was a servant. And that was just another bad choice for me.
Yeah, another lesson.
You learn these lessons.
Yep.
And then after that, there were two really major turning points to me in my awakening. And the first time, I was working about an hour away from where I live. And for some reason, I just knew I could not go to work that day. I wasn't sick. I just knew I can't go in. There's some reason I can't go in.
Okay.
I didn't know why. I just knew it. And I called in to work, and my boss at the time was not impressed. And he actually says, you know, I can dismiss you for not showing up at work, even though I'd never really called in sick or anything before. I didn't have a good reason to tell him why I couldn't come in.
Right, right.
And that morning on the major highway that I used to drive to work every day, there was the worst accident in the history of Ontario.
No kidding.
A wall of fog just came down, and there were several people, including children, that got killed, burned to death because there were tractor trailers, trucks all over the road. The cars were trapped underneath the tractor trailers.
This would have been on your way to work then at the time that you've been going?
The exact time that I go through that area every single day.
Wow.
And
There's no mistake.
It was like, wow.
So what did your boss say the next day?
He didn't said much of anything.
Bosses are like that.
He says, well, I'm glad you weren't involved.
Well, I was glad too. Bosses are like that, yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been at work the next day either, right?
I wouldn't have been back probably at all. And that was a real major waking up for me. Like, it was like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
And I never knew what it was that told me not to go. I never, at the time, I just knew I could not go into work that day.
Yep. Wow. That's there's no mistaking it when things like that happen. You know, with me, it's usually synchronicities like that, physical things that show up and say, hey, stupid, you know, look here. You know, this is what I'm trying to show you something. It's usually not something that dramatic as a terrible accident. But apparently you did need to be shown that, there was something to that, that you were being getting some good information there.
Definitely. And my father, that day, my father was going to the opposite direction on that same road to a baseball tournament with my brother and my nephew. And
wow.
My father heard about the accident on the radio, and he tried calling my work, and they said, oh, Sherry's not here today. They didn't say she stayed home or anything. She's not here. So he
I
was
guess.
Having a major heart attack.
Yes, I guess. Awesome. So you mentioned that there were like two points that really sort of.
The big second one, when my third husband left me, there were many people I knew and spoke to daily that knew that he had been seeing another person, but And I would see these people every day, and they never said a word. I'd have coffee with them.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Everybody knew about it, but everybody was hush-hush.
Right.
And but they all told me, oh, yeah, we knew after he had left.
Thanks a lot, huh?
And it's like, again, that failure, the shame, the guilt, the anger, the self-blame, like I did something wrong because my self-esteem was down in the toilet. And
yeah, isn't that strange how that works? It's your fault now.
Yep.
Right?
And that went when, you know, after whatever, all those years of analyzing myself, I realized this blaming myself went back to all the stuff that happened as a child.
Yep.
And it was something I had to get past. So
yep.
Because of the way I felt and where I was at that time, I was pissed off and hurt, and just I'd had enough. I wanted to go back home to God. And
wow.
This life was so hard, and I had a major fight with my angels, and I ended up in a failed suicide attempt.
You had a fight with your angel.
Yeah. They didn't
imagine
want me.
I can imagine they probably won that fight, I would think, after fighting angels.
Yeah, they won. So, I'm still here. I did fight. I fought hard because I wanted out. I knew that it was going to be so much nicer back where I came from
and
easier.
And you actually made the attempt, is that right?
Yes. I actually have a 3-day blackout from that period of time. And
that's
I know was it wasn't my time. If it's not your time, you're not going to be allowed to leave, no matter what you do.
In my framework, one of the things that we're taught is that a positive light worker soul like you cannot do that. It's an impossibility. You can attempt it. And this may be where your angels came in and said, that's not allowed. Now, people can have attachments and, you know, what some people call walk-ins, you know, soul shifting and things like that, where a negative soul or some kind of an entity will come in and attach and can, you know, let that happen. But if you're a positive soul, you might think about it a lot and you might be in pain. But it's just not going to happen for you. Unless it's your planned time to go. You have work to do, obviously. That's why you're here on this call tonight.
Believe that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, again, like you said, that you know, that was another sort of a milestone that really kind of shifted you into a higher gear, so to speak, in this kind of stuff. So that was that really when you started getting into what you're doing now?
This is when he was gone out of my life, and after a few weeks of sitting there contemplating why the hell I had to stay here, I realized, oh my God, this was a blessing, and that's when I chose my name first, the Soaring Free. And
yeah.
I thought, I have nothing tying me down anymore. I have nothing holding me back. And
surrender. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Give up. Not give up. Surrender. There's a difference.
And it came to me. It was a really dark period in my life. And the message was there every time I journaled. I had always journaled all through my life. And every time I journaled, I'd get soaring free. You're soaring free. It would just keep kicking me in the face. Here it is. You're soaring free. It's okay.
Right.
And shortly after that happened, I went to see, there's an angel reader in the area that I truly respect very much, because I was still dealing with why I was still a little bit angry at God and why God wouldn't let me go home. I just couldn't contemplate it. I didn't understand it. There was still a lot of rough stuff that I had to go through after that point. And that's when she told me, you're here for a reason. You have work to do. It's not your time to go. It's your time to do your work.
There you go.
And you are to be a teacher and a healer. And that's all. She left it at that. That was, that's where she left it.
Well, that's, you know, like you said, there are some readers you can go to and some you didn't want to go to. Well, apparently that one, she got it right on. Because, like I say, here you are now, and she was absolutely right that you did have work to do yet. Let's see now. What you do Reiki? How did that figure into your own healing very much? That going to get your own self worked on, so to speak.
Yes, it does. Reiki, I think, was the true inspiration behind kicking me in the butt and saying everything's okay.
Yeah.
The answers are going to come. Everything will be solved. Don't worry about it. And
okay.
It led me on a better path. It just, I started reading again, which I hadn't done for a long time, and I read like crazy. And
okay.
I had CDs. I had meditation CDs and books and everything was inspirational. I read nothing negative. I didn't watch the news. I didn't listen to the news.
That's a good idea.
The only negative was that ex-husband issue, which we took care of that too, so to speak. And
say no more.
The person that gave me my original attunements, they had moved out of the area. And
okay.
I knew I wanted more. And I had a friend, and I went up there one day, and he invited me to attend a Reiki share, which I didn't even know what a Reiki share was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a bunch of us, we get around, we do Reiki on each other, and everybody gets a treatment, and everybody's giving treatments.
Okay.
And he would give us an attunement every single week right before we'd do a Reiki share. And the more attunements he did and the more I practiced, the higher my consciousness went. And I just opened up to amazing new peace in my body, my soul. My third eye opened up and I started getting clear points of vision.
Wow.
And my feelings, my emotions, everything just, it kept growing, and when I received my master teacher level, it was like, wow, nothing I experienced before. It was the highest level of openness I've ever had.
Cool.
My visions are clear, and the dreams are clear. Everything was right there.
Well, it's, you know, it's the old body, mind, and spirit thing. You can't work on one of those without affecting the other, you know, for better or worse. You know, physically sick means you're going to be mentally a little bit off, and obviously that translates up into the spiritual too, and it works the other way. I can see where that would help. You know, I've been hearing so much about Reiki, and I don't know that much about it. I might have to get into this a little bit here.
I think everybody should.
I looked into it a little bit, but I'm more into the spiritual dimension. Directly, you know, in my work, I do energetic clearing mostly on that upper level and then let it filter down. But it sounds as though, Reiki, you're working your way from, you know, this dimension on the way up. Now, either way can work, but wouldn't it be cool to do it both ways, which I think is part of what you do, too. You know, you start both ends and it meets in the middle and everything's good. So you're into the Reiki, and you actually, that's when you started your healing center. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I had to accept myself, and I had to accept the fact that I was here for a purpose, which I fought that for a long time. I still, you know, I had the God issues, the angel issues, and the anger. And as soon as I accepted that, it's like the purpose of what I'm here for, it just came flying out in front of me. And
right.
I kept getting, even in my journaling, I kept getting, I'm here to be a healer. I'm here to help people on their journeys, to give them the messages that come through me. I'm here to teach the three important messages of life, which the big one I had to learn was forgiveness, acceptance, and unconditional love.
Yep.
And from this point, that's when I started Soaring Free Spiritual Healing Center. And the course, the Spiritual Awakening course, it just came out as part of this journey, but not until after I had gone through the forgiveness, acceptance, and unconditional love. And
until you know it.
Yeah. No. Forgiveness is hard. Very hard.
Oh, yeah. Especially for yourself.
Yeah.
No? You agree with that?
Like, I can forgive you for stepping on my toes, but yep. I'd have a harder time forgiving myself for having my toes under you to step on.
Yeah. How dumb was that to have your toe in that particular spot?
That's right.
Yeah, that was your fault. Yeah. I do that myself. I find it a lot easier to cut other people some slack because, and, you know, and there's a kind of a perverse superiority in that because, you know, I'm so great and wonderful that I shouldn't make those mistakes. Now, other people, you know, they're not as good as I am, so they're allowed to make some mistakes.
I'm perfect. I shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that requires a little bit of humility to forgive because, you know, you have to realize that you're not perfect either. And that's why you do make mistakes. And you're going to continue to make mistakes, folks. You know, we all do. And I'm no exception. And stuff happens.
And, you know, people on our path have a harder time forgiving themselves because they expect, I'm on this path. I should be perfect.
We're one.
Once you're perfect, that's when you return to source.
Exactly, and then it's like poof, and you wouldn't be on the phone right now. So, you know, unfortunately, you're not perfect yet, and I can still speak to you.
Oh, thank
body.
You.
you're writing a book, no?
Yes, currently I'm writing a book, which was the title that we used for the webinar, Soaring Free, A Spiritual Journey from Captivity to Freedom. And it's
awesome.
Very slow process.
Yeah, it probably it'll take longer to write the book than it did to experience it.
That's right.
I deal
with each lesson in my life, or each incident in my life, and what the lesson was. And some of the lessons the incidents are very difficult to relive. But once I've relived it, dealt with it, put down what the lesson was. It's almost like a letting go process. I've let it go, and I move beyond.
Yeah, that's very, very cathartic. I may write that book myself someday, but it's like, you know, your life is flashing before your eyes, so you might as well write it down. You know?
That's right.
And let other people see what that's like and, you know, maybe help them out to get them through some of those same situations. I think, in, you know, what you've been telling us, you hit on the core of what people call the awakening, what it really means, and with, you know, like you finding your the best fit for what you're here to do, and the healing and the intuitive services, and your course and your book that's going to come out. That's part of what the awakening is, to find your life purpose. You know, your life purpose isn't necessarily a job. It's an expression of your basic self, your higher self. You could be, as we said earlier, you could be a truck driver, you could be a waitress, you could be a corporate executive. That doesn't matter. You can still be expressing and be in alignment with your basic native energies that you're here to express. And that's the point of this whole thing. And once you're doing that, you'll succeed. You know, people are in jobs they don't like, but if they found a way to express themselves in those jobs authentically, you know, that could be a turnaround. You know, people could really begin to enjoy whatever they're doing if they do it in a fashion that expresses their divinity. One thing that I always ask people in these interviews and even just people I meet. Now, you know, still these days, you know, there was a time when you and I probably would have been burnt at the stake with no questions asked, doing stuff like this. You know, real, you know, scary, spooky stuff. But even nowadays, you know, I know I had this. I was a little bit afraid to come out, you know, so to speak, and, you know, really let people know what I was doing. Was that a problem for you, just coming out with this?
Yes and no. After number three husband left and all my self-esteem issues got resolved, I started to realize I deserve more in this life. I missed out the whole purpose of why I was here. I was always trying to please a husband, a boss, a friend, somebody else. I wasn't trying to please Sherry. And I let others always dictate how I lived, and I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do.
Yep.
And I hid my Reiki certificates from my husband. I never said a word to anybody about doing holistic medicine. And then I look back and I go, what an idiot. Because there was a very famous horse doctor here. He also raced horses. It was Dr. McKibben in our area.
Like a vet.
He was a vet. He was also the person that brought acupuncture and laser treatments and holistic healing into this area.
Okay.
My parents, my brothers, myself, just about, like, people came from all over the place, even in the States, came across here to see this doctor to get treatments. And this is going back to when I was probably in my late teenager, early 20 area.
Wow. Okay. So it was kind of accepted already that area.
The treatments and acupuncture were and natural paths and
I have to ask this though, Sherry. Did he do it on the horses too? Can you do
yes,
it on
he
him?
Did.
Is that right?
And to this day I have a bottle of his horse liniment that he gave me. I had bad knees, and he actually gave me a bottle of horse liniment to use, and you only use like a fingerful on a human, where you'd use quite a bit on a horse.
I'll be darned.
And I still have one in my cupboard.
When I was a kid, that was, you know, my parents were farm people. I didn't grow up on a farm, but, yeah, there were a lot of farm people in their generation, and that was always a joke that, you know, you couldn't afford to go to a real doctor. You went to the horse doctor. But
we really did.
Yeah, it sounds like that was a good idea.
He trained a lot of people or got a lot of people into their training, and he's passed on since, but there's two girls that trained under him that have a business up probably about 10 miles from here now, very successful one.
Wow. Okay.
And then after that, I joined the meditation group. Just that was more for self-esteem issues.
Okay.
But I didn't even know any of these things existed. And it was when you first come out or start letting people know that you're interested in this or that, but you don't know where to go, that person that you need to see just shows up before you and says, oh, there's a meditation group every whatever morning. It's from this hour to this hour. Why don't you join us?
Yeah, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, so to speak.
That's right.
And you also, besides the meditation group, that's around the time you got into the Reiki, is that correct?
That's when I started doing the Reiki shares on a weekly basis, and just the breakthroughs would come, and like I said, the teachers are right there when you need them. Whatever
Absolutely.
I was ready for, the next one was there.
What else have you studied specifically?
I've done very many workshops that I've done and webinars and things like that. I took Egyptian numerology. I did a past life workshop.
Okay.
CCMBA, which is complete cellular and memory clearing, and it's very similar to Reiki, except it's mostly done through the head portion of the person.
Okay.
And I had a chance, I was lucky enough to go to an event by Jerry and Esther Hicks that was in Toronto. I was in a 3-day workshop with Mandaza, who is a healer from Africa.
Wow.
And
a little bit of everything there.
Yes, if something came up and at the time I was able to attend it, I tried to be there.
Yeah, you never know what little part that you'll be able to take home and use. You know, you may not be able to accept everything you learn in one of those modalities or courses, but if it adds just a little bit to what you already know, then that's how you form your own unique process to help people. And that's outstanding. That's a
and
great
way. And it's true. The more you participate, or even just be a small part of it, you absorb so much. Even if you don't think you do at the time, you do.
Yeah.
For me, I'm a bookworm. That's the one thing since childhood. I love books. I love to read. And now I've read books by Dyer and Chopra and Virtue and Tolle and Redfield, Hicks, Van Zandt, Robbins, Olsteen. And I'm the kind of person that reads a book. Some of the books, like my favorite, are Redfield books, like The Celestine Prophecy and The Insights. I would read them in a night. I couldn't put them down. It was just that gripping. And always the books would be read in a day or two. Done.
You know, that's a good case for getting a Kindle. You know, I got a Kindle a while back, and, you know, you can put like 1,000 books on one of those suckers.
Ooh.
And sure, a lot of web space or
but
shelf space.
But they wouldn't look so pretty on your shelf.
I know.
That's my shelf. I had to buy another bookshelf. The one was full, and I had to buy another, and then one day I said, oh, okay, I'm going to go through, and
yeah.
I let some go. But I also have a tendency to write in my books and highlight things, and some of them I can't give away.
Depends on what you wrote in there, I guess, doesn't
it? You're just like, oh, my God, I understand this, or, oh, what a lesson.
Oh, but on the other hand, if you give those books away and somebody opens that, you know, your notes might be something that they needed to see.
That's
you never
true.
Know.
I never thought of it that way.
So I always ask also, you know, in these interviews, what about the woo-woo stuff? I mean, people always like to hear the things that can happen when you begin to become spiritually conscious and, you know, think what people call the paranormal and things like that. Now, you told us about the accident that you avoided. You know, that was information.
Yeah.
What about, like, dreams, you know, and things like that? I think you told us about your grandmother.
My grandmother came to me, but before the day she died, like, I was quite pregnant at the time, and I wasn't up at the hospital I was trying to go every day, but I was only going for a few minutes.
Right.
And the day she passed, I could hear her calling my name. And I was sleeping, and I kept hearing her calling my name. And I jumped out of bed, and I got dressed and went to the hospital. And my husband at the time was like, what the hell are you doing? I said, I got to go to the hospital. Grandma wants me. And he just gave me the look, like, okay, you're flipped. And she passed right when I got to the hospital.
No kidding.
And then that was the night that she came and stood by my bed. Well, my mother passed the same. I was with my mother as she passed over, crossed over. That night, same thing. She came beside my bed.
Wow.
And then the day my father passed, he had actually stopped at work and thrown some dog food he picked up for me and into my vehicle. And he always stopped in to say hello, or I'd pay him for it or whatever. But he just threw it in the vehicle and ran home. So I called him, and I said, are you okay? You didn't stop and I didn't pay you. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. He says, I'm just tired. Well, that was about 2 o'clock, and when I called at 5, he has passed.
Wow.
So it was that fast. And with my father, it started when I was doing meditation in our group.
Mm-hmm.
My chain, I wear a cross all the time, and my chain would roll up and down my neck and drive me nuts. It felt like a bug crawling up and down your neck.
Yeah.
And I realized, that's my father sitting there, because he just had a dry sense of humor. He's playing with my chain, trying to get my attention.
Exactly. And I know exactly what you're talking about. My dad was a somebody, and that's the day that we had his, we had the funeral, of course, then the next day we buried him. And they have a tent set up, right, because there's thunderstorms in the area. And we were standing there under this little tent that they had set up, and it rained, of course, but we were okay. But my brother was standing right at the edge there, and a big wind came along and picked this thing up and just dumped like 5 gallons of water right on my brother's head. And I said, "You know who that was, don't you?" I said, "That was my dad. He's having a little bit of fun." So yeah, that's how these things can show up. That's awesome.
It is funny. It's like,
yeah,
okay, leave me alone.
Yeah,
I know you're here.
Just because you pass away doesn't mean you don't have a sense of humor.
That's right.
Exactly. So your clients have had some experiences too, I think you were telling me the other day. What's that like?
I have a lady I did a reading for, and she lived in Italy. And all I had was her name when I did the reading.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I'm typing this thing up for her, and I've just got tears running down my face. And when I do a reading, I don't read what I'm typing. I just let it come, and I type, and sometimes I fix spelling mistakes, but I don't check the grammar or anything. I let it come the way it came out.
Right.
And all I could feel was so much hurt from her, but I didn't know why. And everything, she wrote back to me, and everything that I had sent her had related to her situation. And what I hadn't known, she lived in a remote part of Italy in the mountains, and her boyfriend went for a walk. She's an older lady. Went for a walk in the mountains one day and never returned. And this was 4 years ago.
Wow.
Nobody could find him. And yet she was pining for him for all these years. Never stopped wishing he'd come back. And her reading, the message kept coming that she had to let her love go, move on with her life, and how she was dying by staying where she was.
Wow.
And I sent her an email later.
That was the message that you gave her,
yeah.
But you didn't.
I didn't know.
Wow.
And
that's
awesome. I keep in contact with, I keep readings on file for about 30 days. But
yep.
This lady really touched me. And I sent her an email not too long ago.
Right.
And she moved on, and she met a new person, and she's starting to see happiness again. And I was just so happy that she changed her life. And she says, "You're so right. I was sitting here waiting for something that I may never know what happened to him. Like the police didn't want to help look for him and things like that." It's just
Wow. The
part that she was in. And
awesome.
when I receive feedback like that from a reading or even from a course, it's just so affirming for me that I'm doing the right thing right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And besides sending chills up your spine.
There's many of those.
You never really get used to it. You know, if it ever becomes commonplace, then there's something wrong with it, because every synchronicity, every message that turns out to be valid, it's just an awesome thing to see. That, you know, this information does come into us, no matter where it comes from. It's still awe-inspiring to get something like that. And that's the kind of thing that really gets your attention and lets you know that you're on a good path, or you know, not in some cases.
I agree, because it's like people live their lives. Even with me, it's easier for me to have somebody go, if I'm really stuck, I'll talk to somebody about it, and they'll say, "Well, this is what's holding you back." They'll put something, you know, "You're still doing this, and you have to let go of it." And it's like.
Yep.
It's so simple when they say it, and yet I couldn't see it because I was still trying to analyze it too deeply.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. I can't work on myself that much. I mean, I have friends, and you'll be one of them probably from now on.
Uh-huh.
When I have a question, because you're just too close to the issue to see it yourself and to get the unbiased information, I might say.
And I find family harder to, I can go to a complete stranger and say, "You know what, here it is right there." And family, you're too emotionally involved.
Yeah, you know too much about them, so you're inclined one way or the other, which is, it's really going to block you and get in your way of getting some good information to help them with that. Now, yeah, that was fascinating. I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, listening to those people are going to have to come away with a little bit of hope, even, you know, if they're in a bad place themselves now, because, you know, you demonstrated that anybody, no matter how bad things are, you can always turn that around if you just sit and listen and pay attention to what's happening. But so now I'd like to see if anybody has any questions, just general questions for you about intuitive work or things like that. We're going to get to some readings here in a minute, I hope. But let me tell the callers that if you do have a question, hit star 2 on your phone. That's star, that little star thing, asterisk, and then hit 2. And I'll be able to see that as if you raised your hand. And I'll call on you. I'll take you off the muted portion of the call, and you can ask Sherry a question. And I also, I'm going to check here. We do have some written questions. Okay, we do have a few submitted written questions. Okay, someone says, well, this is not really a reading question, which is not what we want anyway, but she asks, or he, it's sort of anonymous here in this case, but apparently they have the feeling that they wanted to stay on the other side, so to speak, and not be incarnated, and had some kind of a compulsion that they had to come back and be in a physical body again. Do you have any clues on why that would be, why they weren't able to stay over there on the other side and just hang out and strum a harp, you know, and sit on
enjoy life, watch all the people here and laugh.
Feeling beyond that?
A lot of my feelings on that go back, I don't know if you're familiar with Carolyn Miss or not, Contracts for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I study this, the more I'm into it, I believe that everybody has a contract they've made before they came down here. Like, I want to experience unconditional love. I want to experience forgiveness. I want to experience my highest spiritual self.
Yep.
And when you pass, if you haven't gotten to that level in this lifetime, they're going to send you back again to do it again until you achieve that lesson.
Yeah, you're going to send yourself back. And I think a lot of that, too, in the framework I work in, a lot of it has to do with karma. You know, if you say, make a so-called mistake here and you get something balanced in this lifetime, you can't balance that when you're all floating, you know, around in the astral planes. You have to come back here to take action and to learn here in this physical plane to balance that karma. And I think that's what life lessons are all about a lot of times. Yeah, that's true.
I truly believe that. I believe that you have to meet karma. You have to meet what you were here for. You were the one that had to do this life. And once you get to that point, it's on the other side. It really is.
I've had people say, oh, I don't want to come back here. I had enough of this. I'm like, well, you know, you say that now. But, you know, when you're not encumbered by this and you see a big picture, well, it may change because there is no evolution at this stage for most of us without coming back here. This is how we evolve spiritually. I have another question here. Totems. I don't think we touched on this, but I don't know much about the animal totems, birds, fish, you know, things like that. And, when I picture Canada, I picture more of a Native American nation, not necessarily where you live, but farther north, out on the river. you know, people are on reservations, and the other thing I'm thinking of is Irish. you know, he talked animal totems and things like that. Could you just briefly discuss what totems are all about? Are they spirit guides, or are they like synchronicities? They see something? What's that about?
For totems, they aren't moose polar bear like most Canadians think it would be. Most Americans think we have a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, odd sea lions.
Right.
Well, There can be a mammal, fish, anything living.
Okay.
And they're, in a sense, a guide. They're there to help you with every totem means something. And every, whether it's owl or bird, like one of my totems bird, I have red back, the eagle, and the owl.
And so
my red,
if you see a hawk, now does that mean some specific, you know, some specific issue that you're supposed to look for? Is that how it works?
With me, red hawk, always I'm on a journey, but a physical traveling journey, my vehicle.
Okay.
And if I see a city hole, it tells me my journey is going to be safe. If it's flown in front of my vehicle, and it will literally slow down, it means lift up on your foot, or I've actually on slow me down. There's been an accident at a right in front almost. Like somebody came off a set ramp going on the road and was going to and went right across the road.
That's but awesome. So you want all this new electric you're starting to put in cars. You have your belt.
I have a little bit of extra help. And,
wow. That's...
And balls are another one. And all ego to that, to me, that strength, courage. And I'm parents of both half. And I was my father's house cleaner. I had two bald eagles load up. And I named them after my parents. There were two of them.
Get out of here.
I'd see them every day. It was the first time I had to go out cleaning out my ducks and I was going to auction stuff and going. And I was doing the right thing. And crying all the way out there. And I said, send me a bird because I'm just don't get send it and confirm. I thought it's red tail hawk. Well, what flew over was a huge black copter. And okay.
That's like a supercharged eagle, you know,
yeah.
Or a hawk.
And that night on the way home, I was still, because it was such an emotional thing dealing with the place I didn't want to go back into and rehashing memories I didn't want to deal with. Mm-hmm. And there was an eagle sitting just down the road in a tree on the lake. And my father's house is also on the lake.
Right.
And it just stopped me. And it's like, I don't know what it was. I stopped. And the second one showed up, and then they flew right across in front of me.
Wow.
And I had a friend who's also a seer and intuitive called me up after I got home, and she said, did you just have a pair of something fly in front of you? And I just, yeah. She says,
that's
your
awesome.
Your parents are sending you a message. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so all the time when I'm working on this house or if I go out and I'm really upset, they'll be sitting in the same tree that.
Wow. So it's you know a lot about this kind of thing, apparently. Is this something you can do for people, too, sort of guide them to to what their totem animal or whatever might be?
I can give them information on what their totem represents. It'll be something that, you know, something that's there every day that you don't notice is not a totem. Something that if you have a snake that appears before you like three or four times and you haven't seen one in a long time but you keep seeing one, or if you see the same creature over and over again and it grabs your attention, it's trying to send you a message.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that sounds a lot like just, you know, synchronicities that I've had in the past, especially when I was first beginning to wake up a little bit. It wasn't necessarily animals. You know, it might be a corn cob in the driveway. You know, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
But the totems are more active. You know, they can show up and then go away and then show up and go away. So then they become significant. If you see if you see a hawk every single day, it's going to lose its significance. So I would imagine that you can point out that, hey, you know, when you do see this, pay attention.
And you could be driving along and they're there and you don't notice it. It's when you do actually, like I'm not looking for them when I go, but when they do grab my attention, it's like, okay, it's there for a reason.
Yep, they make themselves apparent. Okay, there's another question here about your course. General question. Okay. Here's a question for you. Will it solve or answer all my questions in my spiritual journey? There you go.
It will help you to solve your own questions. It will guide you to connect to your inner source.
Okay.
It will also guide you to use the tools that when you're in a dilemma, what you need to do, how to make your decision the right way on whatever's going on in your life. It will bring you to a place that you can use the universal laws. You can use the law of attraction. You can use, I have a five statement thing that you go, five words that you go by with every decision, which are choice, commitment, integrity, action, and harmony.
Right.
And it also teaches you how to do automatic writing. So when you start journaling and doing some of the stuff in the course, it gives you a sense that you're writing, but pretty soon that writing's just like at first you might be writing and thinking what you're writing, but by the end of it, you'll be writing whatever's just coming through you, and then you read it after, and oh my God.
Yeah. So it sounds like this the course is like a whole collection, like a toolbox, you know, a whole collection of ways that you can use to get intuitive information for yourself, and at the same time, make some progress spiritually and your consciousness, things like that. That's awesome.
And by no means, it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, that's, nobody said it would be easy, right? But that, like we said earlier, you know, different things resonate, so to speak, with different people. So what you're giving people is sort of a pick and choose. You know, you learn all of those things in the course, but then eventually, you know, you may be finding that a couple of the parts really work the best for you. But this is a good opportunity to take a look at all those different methods. And that sounds awesome.
It's been life awakening for some people, and it was actually life awakening for me as I wrote it.
Oh yeah. There's no teaching without learning going along with it.
And you learn from every student, and that's what I love so much, because every person is different.
Oh, tell me about it. I've had some lessons from my own clients lately that just kind of knocked me. But, you know, it's like, okay, this is a message, you know, this is information for you, the client. But in the process, it's like, hey, stupid, you know, you should be listening to this too. You know, you're not just a teacher, and we're all here learning. You know, I don't care who you are, you know, Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra, they're still learning their lessons, I'm sure. So it never stops, like you said, until you really get to that point where you vaporize, and we don't want to do that quite yet. I kind of like it here now, but I still want to evolve. Now, and that's awesome stuff, and I'm, you know, I hope people, right there on the webinar site, there's a place where you can click and go to your website and check out that course. We said that we would do some intuitive readings. So what do you need for that? You know, if people have like a single question.
A detailed single question, not where am I going in life?
Yeah, really.
Or one I got the other day was, how do I manifest? Well, what are you trying to manifest? Are you talking about love, abundance, house?
So we need to be kind of...
So I'd like... Yeah. I'd like their first and last name and detailed question.
Okay. Well, let's see. Right now, everybody's being a little shy. I do not have anyone with a hand raised. But I do have a written question. Would that work for you?
That's fine.
We'll see if this works. And, you know, people should know that, you know, we do need to put your name out there, because obviously Sherry needs your name to do this. So this young lady put her name in here, and I'm going to give you that, and then we'll see if her question is specific enough.
Okay.
Her name is Mara Lee, M-A-R-A-L-E-E, Nolte, N-O-L-T-I-E.
Mara okay.
Lee. And... I think this question is specific enough. It's
okay.
It's pretty simple. She wants to know, how do I know if leaving my current job is the right thing to do? Now, you know, that could get complicated, but let's just see, you know, see what we can come up with for that?
I'm just writing it down.
What she said?
I always write it down. I don't know why. I just have it.
Her exact words are, "How do I know if leaving my current job is the right thing to do?" Okay.
Okay. The first thing that I would tell her to do is take time to really sit quiet, think about her decision. If she knows what she wants to go do, or what she would want to do if she left it, put them both down and think about it for a few minutes. And I'm just checking. Everyone has the ability inside of them to change their circumstance. If there's anything that's holding you down in your job and that you don't want to do about it, something that's just making your life miserable in the job, but you have a dream that you haven't gone to, what's holding you back from jumping and going after that dream job that you want, or the desires that you want? And
so it sounds like it's aimed at making a decision.
It's at making a decision, and is there something that's blocking you from making that decision? And again, okay. I go back to sit down and write it down and look at the job that you want to do and say, okay, this is a choice I'd like to make.
Right.
And then ask yourself, can I make a total commitment to this choice? And if I do it, am I doing it with integrity? Am I doing the action of doing this other job or training with integrity?
Okay.
And what you look at is the end result. You hold your heart while you're doing this, and the end result has to bring you harmony. And if the end result's not bringing you harmony, it's not the right thing to do. But if
right.
the end result is bringing you that complete peace, you'll know it's the right thing for you to do.
It sounds as though this seemed like a simple question, but it's really not, because she has to go inside and do some inner work and really examine her fear and what's holding
yes.
her back from there, making that decision.
It's finding that issue that's stopping you, the...
Well,
you have to trust in yourself. You have to trust in your inner being, but you also have to feel peace in that, trusting the decision you make. And going to a new job, if it's completely different than what you do, it can be like a rebirth of, it can be the best thing that you've ever done. It can be a rebirth. The experience can just open you up and again,
sure.
I'm getting harmony. It's if she makes this decision to do this, it's given me that she is going to be in a harmonious place because it's the right thing for her to do.
Right.
But she has to know this in her heart before she makes that decision.
Yep, go inside.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. So hopefully that helped to answer a question. Now, people have to realize that... you know, especially with the written question, you know, since you can't interact with Marilee here, there's really, you're really limited as to specifics. And the way the question is worded, it's not really something that you can, you know, say, yeah, it's right or yeah, it's wrong. It's,
and when I do the e-readings, they
mm-hmm.
do get a lot more information typed. There's
there
is a pile of information.
Okay. I do have another question here written. Let me check the phones again. Okay. Star 2, folks, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Sherry and get an intuitive type answer. But I do have another written question. I happen to know this young lady. I've spoken with her before, and she wants a little bit of help here from you. It's kind of a long question. There's a little bit of background to it. But her name, if you want to write it down, it's Jenny, J-E-N-E-I, or I'm sorry, J-E-N-I.
Okay.
Shepherd Dawson is her name.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to skip part of this because it's basically, she's had a bad time, okay, in the past, I think it's been 6 years for Jenny, that things kind of went to hell. And her question to you, I think, would boil down to, how do I begin to heal and regain my old positive energy? Every time I begin to progress, something else comes up, some other dreadful situation arises. And that's the crux of the
question. It sounds like my life.
Exactly, which I think is why she was probably drawn to this particular call. So you're in a unique position here, not only intuitively, but you know, you have some background that you could help her with too.
Yes.
How does she begin to heal and regain her positive energy?
The first thing that she has to do is look at whether her thoughts that she's putting out are what's attracting more of the negative things back in. Are there, because if you're thinking, oh, everything in my life is always, as soon as I get there, something bad happens, well, that's what's going to happen again and again, because you've just told universe that as soon as you get better, something bad's going to kick in again.
That's manifesting right
you're
there.
You're manifesting. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And that's the really simple answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do forgiveness of yourself. You have to take responsibility for, this is the hardest one that I had to deal with.
Yeah.
I am responsible for everything that comes into my life or happens to me.
Yep.
Even if somebody else abused me or something, I was still responsible because I chose to come back and learn these lessons.
Basic stuff, yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's very difficult to get to that, accepting the responsibility, but also very important to only put positive thoughts in your mind, positive words coming out of your mouth.
Yep.
If there's negative people, this was a big one for me. I had to walk away from a lot of people in my life that I had known a long time, but the negativity coming off would bring me back down.
Sure. Especially someone who's already sensitive to that kind of thing, other people's energies, obviously.
And some of it was, like, some was family that, you know, you're walking away from family or lifelong friends, and it, like,
yeah,
I can still be around them once in a while, but I can't be a part of that click all the time, because the negativity would just drag you right back down.
Yeah, well, like I say, I have spoken with Jenny, and she's an amazing woman with what she's gone through, just like you. But she, you know, she's very intelligent, and she has these things that keep happening to her. And one thing I would add that in the work I do, sometimes these things can be cleared. You might have attachments, and I call them little black spots, you know, in your soul. It shouldn't be there. And if you can sort of, like a bad spot on an apple, you know, you just take and cut that out of there so it doesn't spread, we can clear that kind of thing, you know, and you can do the work with Sherry that, you know, through her course, she'll show you how to do that. Or you could, you know, talk to me about it, and some of these things we can clear pretty quickly. Now, what I call it, in my case, I call it sort of clearing the runway, you know. All that debris that has been keeping you from taking off, so to speak, in life, we can get that out of your way, whether you go with Sherry or my kind of work, but you still have to be the one to take off. You know, there's your path. It's clear now. You're free to travel, but you have to be the one to do the traveling. And I found that with myself, and obviously Sherry, with the story you've been telling us, that's your case too, that You know, you can do this stuff. You have to do it yourself, but you don't have to do it alone. You know, you can get help with this kind of thing, and that's what Sherry's here for, and that's why I'm bringing you to the people here tonight. And you know, that's the kind of thing I do, so I know what that's all about. That looks like about it for those written questions. Now, I happen to see here on my phone list that there's a friend of mine on the line. And if she, you know, she could help us out here, you know, just, she knows who she is down there in Florida. If she wants to hit, if she wants to hit star two, let's see, 9402 are the last four digits, and she knows who she is. I'm pretty sure that's a friend of mine. And if she wants to hit star two and get on here and ask a question, feel free, you know. Start a countdown here. But anyway, those are, aha, there the hand went up. Okay, let me see how this works here. I'm going to unmute this. Hi, Julie. Hello?
You've still got me.
I know I've still got you, I hope. Maybe I was wrong, but cell phone, 9402 is the last four digits. Are you on the line yet?
Hi. Can you
hear
me?
Yes.
I can hear.
Can you hear me?
You have a question.
This is Claudia, and it's interesting because I haven't talked to you before, but you called my last four digits of my cell phone, and I'm in Florida.
Yeah, okay. Well, you see, what happened was I happened to have a friend who lives in that area of Florida, and
okay.
I don't know her phone number, so I thought that was her, and I was just trying to rag on her a little bit. And
I was like, what, me? What? I haven't even talked to you yet.
So the universe is, you know, that's something that came to me to do just out of fun. And so here now we have you on the phone.
Wow.
You,
okay.
You have a question for Sherry that maybe she can help you with?
Oh, wow. Well, it occurred to me just the other day that maybe I feel blocked in doing things. And do I just have my... Excuse my French, but do I just have my head up my ass?
Hey, Sherry, this is our kind of girl right here.
Okay, Claudia, if you do, I'd say pull it out.
I know.
That's the wrong place for it to be.
They call that a rectal lobotomy.
Oh.
Okay, full name. You need the first and last name, right, Sherry?
Yeah, give me your last name. I've got her first name.
It's Derubis, Derubeis.
Are there specific areas that you're blocked in, Claudia?
There's a lot going on. I'm on Michael's call next week. I'm thinking more like work-wise, career-wise, because I've just always been struggling.
Must be the job night
tonight. Yeah.
Are you working right now?
I freelance.
Freelance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I work a little bit here and a little bit there and basically scrounging to get by.
Okay, the first thing that you have to do is not say you're scrounging. Because that's considered a negative statement. Okay, one, two. What I'm getting here is you need a little more courage to unblock yourself. And the way you would get that is, again, sitting in the silence for a bit and just thinking, what exactly is it that you want? Where do you want to go? Decide what your ultimate dream is going to be, or your ultimate goal, like what you want to achieve with your career, what you want, how many customers you want to try to get, or what end result you want. And it shows that you're a creative person. And I'm getting sorrow and creativity together, which is almost an oxymoron. It's like the opposite ends of the sorrow and creativity.
Sorrow, okay.
So
okay.
You have to let go of the negative aspects of what's going on in your life, in your career, any negative wording that's coming out. That's the part that you have to suppress, is when you start thinking, I'm blocked, I can't get past this, anything with I can, anything with I'm having trouble, anything with I'm not getting there. And just take that out of your vocabulary altogether. And then listen to your inner heart, and the guidance is there for you, and it's got to be in a creative way that this guidance is, because it keeps coming up with creativity.
Yeah.
And it says, if there's something you really want, be brave. Just be willing to take that leap of faith. Even if you're going to look like a crazy person or a fool or have your head stuck up your ass. That's the playful end of it. Just be very brave, because you're not an ordinary person, that there's just a breakthrough there for you. It's a huge breakthrough if you're willing to receive that breakthrough. And it also shows success here. So once you can, you know, let go of any ideas that held you back, anything from the past that held you back, just let it come through. Let whatever you're guided to do, like it might sound like something completely nuts, but go for it. And
yep.
And if you make, there are no mistakes in life. Like if it doesn't work out, it wasn't a mistake, it was a lesson. And you have to remember that there are no mistakes. Everything is a lesson. So if you try one thing and it hasn't worked, just be brave, be creative, let yourself go, try something else, and don't be afraid to just let it go. Like let it go with a flow, go after your success because it's there.
So again, it sounds like this is a mindset thing.
Yes.
You know, manifesting what you think, what you say, everything
and trusting,
you do.
Trusting in your own heart self, your inner guide, because your inner self truly, truly knows the right thing to do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do not compare yourself to how anybody else that might be doing the same thing is doing. That is the word.
You just popped into my mind, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Comparison is the worst thing, because every soul is different.
You know, and it's funny because I'll tell my friends that too. Don't compare yourself to others, because they have their path, you have yours.
That's right. And everybody came here with a, you know, we have our own gifts, our own talents. Everybody has something different. And I do things different than the next person that does readings does them.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's
says be patient.
I hate that. I hate
that word.
One.
Yeah.
That was awesome for me.
I know.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
again, with
lesson.
You, it comes up when you get that success, there's going to be that harmony again. That harmony is going to be the end result to your...
Wow.
And you'll know it. When you feel that harmony, you'll know you're doing the right thing.
Okay.
The other synchronicity here is that I did, after you said your last name, Claudia, I recognized it from one of the people that had signed up for my call next week.
Yes.
And the synchronicity is that's one of the things we're going to talk about on that call is what your gifts are and what you're here to do in a general way. So, you know, that might give you a clue too. So that's awesome that you were able to get get some input from Sherry here on that end.
Yeah.
And next week we'll go into some details about just the character and nature of your natural gifts, and how you should be expressing those. So, oh wow, that's fantastic.
I know. I knew I should. When I saw the email for this, I'm like, I got to do that, and I have to do his. So.
You're getting a
barrel. Whatever your first instinct is, that's what you go with. If you get the feeling, I got to do Michael's thing, you don't even question it. You just do it.
Exactly.
That's how it works. I know even when I do my work, if I begin to say, is that really right, that answer I got, then everything goes to hell.
That's right. As soon as you question yourself or second guess it.
Yep, the first thing comes to mind. Okay, I hope that helped you out there, Claudia.
It did, and thank you so much.
Yeah, that was awesome. I enjoyed even just listening to it. It kind of gave me chills because it's all about purpose and self-empowerment and expressing what you're really here to do, and that's what we're here trying to help you with. So with that, I think I'm going to put you back on mute here in a minute,
okay,
Claudia, in case dog starts barking or something. So so it was great talking to you, and you just keep track of Sherry and what she has to offer, and I'll have the opportunity to talk to you in a week or so then. Okay.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia.
Oh. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Now we're going to have a little bit more here, and then we're going to wrap up the call. Getting a little long, but okay. Okay, Claudia is now muted. We really don't have any other hands raised, and we really have run pretty long on this call. I was having too much of a good time here, I think, this is the problem, and let it go on long. But for people who are listening and don't care to ask questions now, or people who listen to the recording in the next day or two, I believe you said you had an offer that you could help them with. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes. Anybody that would like a one-question reading, a single-question reading, if you email me at soaring_free@hotmail.com and you put free reading in the subject line, I'll send you a free one-question reading. And you'll need to put your full name on the email and the password to the webinar site, which you received in your emails when you signed up for the webinar.
Right.
And I would like your year of birth if you can. And when you ask your question, again, please be detailed on it. Don't be just a simple, don't leave it as an open, vague question.
But you don't want their life story, right?
No.
I mean,
No.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
Be specific, whether it's in regards to career, love, job, family, whatever the aspect might be, or your personal growth.
And that,
and again,
give that email address again.
Yeah, the email is soaring@hotmail.com.
Okay, Hotmail. Gotcha. All right, awesome. And we already have mentioned your course. I think you said that you're also going to offer a second thing, which is unbelievable, and it has to do with that course. And you pretty much described the course already, but what are you offering to the people around that?
This course, it's a spiritual awakening connection to your source course. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-week intensive online course, and before anybody decides to sign up, they must know it requires a complete commitment from the student to achieve results. And they're doing something on this course every single day for the 10 weeks. It might only be a few minutes per day on some days, and it'll be longer. It's very interactive. You ask questions, they're answered almost immediately. And I'm going to offer a 10% discount on the course.
Wow.
However, in order to get the discount, they'd have to go to the website, www.soaringfree.ca, and send me a message through there or through my email, soaring_free@hotmail.com. Again, use the passcode that you got when you signed up for the webinar. And
okay.
you'll receive a PayPal invoice with a discounted price on it. Or if you prefer to pay via email transfer, you put that information on your initial email.
Okay, so there's not going to be a payment button for this discount. In other words,
no, there won't be a payment button. If they press the payment button, they'll be charged the full price.
Right, so that's very important to understand
that.
Now, you're not going to offer this. Well, both the free reading, which, by the way, what do you generally charge for those?
They're $20 for the readings, the single question readings.
Okay, so if you miss it this time, then you can always get your email reading, but it's going to cost you $20. If you'd like to take Cherry's course, you're going to have to email her, and then she'll, I assume, invoice you, and then you just pay the invoice, and that way you get your discount. Just in case, I just want to make this clear. How long is this offer? Because I'm going to have this recording available for forever.
Okay, the offer doesn't stand forever.
Okay, that's good to know. That's number one.
The offer will stand for 5 days.
5 days
so
from
anywhere
tonight.
That would be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up until the 28th.
Okay, fair enough. All right. There you have it, folks. We did get a reading in or two, and I think just from listening to Sherry, I know I was impressed. Intuitive information aside, just the wisdom that she's gained from the studying she's done and the experiences she's been through, you can see that there is a lot of benefit to be gained from working with her. And I hope that anybody who maybe was a little shy or didn't make it to the call and is listening to the recording within the next 5 days, of course, is going to take advantage of those great gifts that she's offering. to go back to my housekeeping here, I do have that seminar coming up next Friday. I believe that's the 31st. And the title of that is Meet Your Higher Self. It's very affordable, $35 to sign up for that. That's on my website, and there's a little button there on the webinar site that you can press, and it'll take you right to the sign-up page. And that's going to be something where I'm going to give you some information about your higher self, basic gifts and traits and characteristics, and I'm going to also tell you what your primary life lesson is, your alignments with certain divine energies and things like this, and I'm going to explain all that then on the call. So it looks like it's about time to wrap up the call. Let me check here and see if there might be any more questions that came in late. I do not see any hands raised or written questions. So, Sherry? I really appreciate it. We went a little bit long with this call, but I think it was well worth it. And I hope to do this again sometime. I'm going to continue this interview series with different people, but that doesn't mean that I won't repeat them because, you know, we all learn new things and get better at what we do. And, you know, someday we're going to have Sherry back on one of these calls. So,
thank you, Michael. I really appreciated it.
Absolutely. We had a little rough start there. I had some internet problems and we got going a little bit late there. But overall, I had a great time and I really enjoyed talking with you and with Claudia, our one caller, who was brave enough to get on the phone there.
That's the thing, too, because I always ask for first and last name, some people just don't want to give their name out.
Yeah, and I don't think we made that clear before, so that might have thrown some people off. But hey, we're amongst friends here. I mean, who cares?
It's just that's the way that I do it. I write the name down and I look at the name and.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm an even bigger pain in the ass. I want first and last name now. I want former first and last name. I want place of birth and date of birth. So if you don't want information, you're out of luck.
Which first and last name would I give you?
Yeah. Well, that's true. we have my current and birth name, so that would work. So with that, I'm going to close out the call here. And obviously, if you're going to listen to the recording, you're not going to hear this, but if you want to download it and you are on the call, you can go to that same website, and the recording will be available there tomorrow morning sometime. Or you could try it tonight. You know, whoever's on the phone now, if they want to go ahead and download it, if they missed part of the call, they can download the recording at that same webinar site. You'll still need the password. So, Sherry, it's been real, and it's been fun. And, like I said, I'll talk to you again sometime.
Thank you, Michael.
And I want to thank all the callers for calling in and listening, and hopefully they gained something out of it. So, good night.
Good night, Michael.
And good night, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.